Be in the house of God tonight. Traveled a pretty long day, pretty long way, I should say, today. And I worked the night before, so I'm a little tired, but I thank God that we made it here safe and sound. I thank God for His traveling mercies. He's been so good to me and my family. I mean, I'm a third generation preacher. Me and my brother, I got to thinking a little bit. Before we got up to sing, you know, the devil told my mom he was going to kill me at 16, and this year I'll graduate college.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I'm not very good at reading, but I have a degree. Amen. And God's really touched me in my life. Amen. You might not say that's much, but a boy that couldn't read didn't learn how to really start to pronounce words till second grade. God's given him a blessing. Amen. That he might make something of himself on this life. Amen. So I thank God for that and everything that he does for me. And tonight, if you turn with me, we're going to Numbers chapter 13. Amen. We'll start in verse 30. I'm just going to read this verse. Say amen when you get there. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome." And in verse, in chapter 14 of Numbers, in verse 7, "And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is exceedingly good. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us. And a land which floweth with milk and honey." And that's all I really feel like reading tonight. You may be seated. And if the Lord will help me, I'd like to preach a little bit about going and possessing that land. If you really look at your life so many times now, well, let me slow down for just a second. They went and they went to Canaan and they went and they found and searched this land and they saw that this land was great and it was abundant and it was what God was going to give them. But in that land, there was people there that were stronger, bigger, probably smarter, probably had more resources, probably had more weapons and could probably kill them in just a few hours in a battle. But tonight, I would like to talk about going and possessing that land. Now, God has promised us things in the Word of God that He'll never put more on us than we can bear, and that if we ask, it shall be given. If we seek, it we shall find. If we knock, that door shall be open unto us. The Word of God is full of promises, and I'm telling you tonight that you can possess the very thing that you're after. Amen. Now, these young men, they went into this land, and they sent 12 spies, and they spied out this land, and only two came back with a good report. But the rest of the people around these two young men that said, "You know what? We can go after this thing. We can go after the power of God. We can go after revival. We can see our people saved. We can inhabit that land and have that promise that the Word of God offers us." Those people around those young men said, "You can't do it. You can't do it." And you know what? Later on in this chapter, the Lord says that only Caleb will see this land because he served me and that he believed in me. And now when you really look at this and you think about what this scriptures mean, he says, "Let us go up at once and possess it." Because we can overcome it. We can overtake it. You think that the devil is strong and mighty, and he says, "You know what? The Lord brought you to this church. You've been here for a while, and you know what? You ain't really doing nothing. Ain't nothing happening for you. You're at this job, and everything seems like it's falling apart, and the world is coming in on you. But I'm here tonight to tell you that you can possess this land that you're after." You get to really thinking about the lost souls that this church has. We got them where I live. You want to know something? That you can overcome that and you can see that come to pass. You can see that your family will be in here. I got to thinking about that verse. If you ask, it shall be given unto you. You know what? If we ask, God will give it to us. But the problem is with us that if we ask amiss, it won't be given unto us. That's what the Bible says. He said, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Now let me say something to you right now. If you get in here and you act defeated, if you get in here and say, I can't have the power like I want it, I'm here to tell you, you won't get it. You can't be defeated, but you gotta trust in the power of God, that God will deliver you and give you everything that your heart desires. Amen. Now let me say something real quick. Your heart desire has to be after God. You have to desire God and not the things of this world. The Bible says, if any man loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let me say that right now, that you have to seek after God, and you have to have the want to see the things that God wants for you in your life. He won't just give you anything that you ask for. He ain't a genie that you rub the bottle and he comes out and gives you three wishes. You got to put some work in. You have to go and spy out that land. You have to go out there and look after it and say, you know what? I see something that I like. I see that young man down the road really got the power of God running, screaming, and shouting. I want that. I can see that the power of God will move in my life as long as I chase after it. As long as when it's time for me to step out, that I will step out. Amen. David, he went out to and to give his brother some food in the battle. And he comes down there and he sees this uncircumcised Philistine defying the army of the Lord. Right. And I got to thinking about that. A lot of times, I mean, in that same in Numbers right there, it says there's giants in that land. Right. They're big. Right. It seems like I can't do it. We ain't got but 100. They got thousands. They're tall. Two men taller than me. They can pick up a tree, throw it on their back, run up a hill, not get a break a sweat. But you got to look at this, at a young man, a young shepherd boy, a red-headed, freckle-faced young man that knew nothing. He says, Saul said, but you are but a youth, and he is a man of war. Now, the devil is a man of war, and if you really think about it, we're all still pretty young in the Lord. We have to really look at it. We ain't been around like the devil's been around. You know what? We are still a youth. We are still young, and he is a man of war. He's been after this battle. He's been trying to stop us for centuries. He's been trying to silence the church for years, way before I was born, way before you were born. Then there, when Jesus died on that cross, he tried to stop it then. So he's been at this for a long time. But I'm here to say that he is a man of war. But we have the power of God, that he will be like that lion and like that bear down there, that I'll grab it by the mane and I'll rip him in half. I will go down there and slay this giant, and I will take what is mine. I will take what the Lord promised me. I will pursue after this man. I will get in that land no matter what happens. If I gotta die trying, if I gotta fight so hard that I can't fight no more, if I gotta go when no one else will go, when all my friends say I can't, when the army's behind me scared to death, if I gotta keep going, I'm gonna keep going.
Amen.
He's a man of war. But he's a man of war that's defying the armies of God. Amen. That he's trying to stop our churches. He's trying to stop our children. He's trying to stop our nation from and turning away from God. He's trying to take over little by little by the people that are in charge. But we still have a fighting chance.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. That this war, I get to thinking about what that devil does to the church and what he does to me just personally. Just recently he told me I wasn't called, said I didn't have no power in God. But I'm here to say that I'm fighting for my territory tonight. And I'm going to get up here and give that devil a black eye. If I have to go down doing it, I will. Hey, it's time for us to stand up. And time for us to say, you know what? That land was promised to me by God. And that I will get up right now. And I will possess that land. And I will overtake that giant. That it is mine. God promised it to me. That giant's going to die today.
That's right.
Amen.
Bless you, brother. Amen. We're not alone.
Hey.
God bless you.
Hey. This is my territory. I was born and raised to be something for God, and I'm not going to let the devil take it from me. So I'm asking you tonight to say how long you've been serving the Lord. Are you going to let the devil walk into your house and take what belongs to you? I don't think not. I think you need to stand up and say, that's my baby. That's my wife. That's my church. That's my Sunday school. And say, I'm going to take back what the devil stole from me and get on top of this mountain and stay on here as long as I can.
Amen. Listen, Lord. God help you.
This world's growing dark. And it's getting bad. I mean, the highest rate of death in Pennsylvania is abortions, if you count it as murder. I mean, just think about that. Homosexuals stepping in behind our pulpits, leading our young men. I mean, they're teaching. I mean, when I was a young man, I mean, that fifth grader, I shouldn't have had no business learning about sex education. But in fifth grade, they taught me that. So now they're going back further and saying down here in first and second grade, not only are we going to teach them about the birds and the bees, but we're going to say it's okay to be a homosexual. It's okay. You're transgender. You might like girl stuff. You're probably transgender, probably bisexual. That is the world that we're living in today. And if you deny that and they don't recognize that this time is changing and that it's not like it used to be, and say, I can just sit here and raise my hand for a little bit. I can do just a little bit for God. No, we have to go all in. We have to be the David that says, is there not a cause that God needs a man and a woman to stand up and say, I will fight this uncircumcised Philistine, and he'll be like the lion, and he'll be like the bear, and he will perish.
That's right. Amen. Amen. That's right, preacher.
I love the Lord. I don't have eloquent words. I don't really take a lot of notes. I can't put a 5-point sermon together. But I know this much, that the world needs Jesus. And if I don't stand up and say it, who's going to? You know, at my church, we got about 24 people. 24 people that serve God the right way, that believe the word of God the right way, that know what is taught in our churches, right, and will stand against the devil. That's 24 people. How many are here tonight? 180? Y'all, let me just say something, that God can use us all. But if we don't stand up, just, you know, the Bible says one can set 1,000 to flight, and two can set 10,000 to flight, that we need to stand up for this nation and for our country and for our young men. How am I going to raise a baby in a world that the government's giving everybody handouts and everybody's talking about being homosexual? It's just becoming a mess, and we need to stand up and say something. You know why everybody's a supporting again? It ain't true. About 12% of all Americans support it. You know there's a voice to be heard behind this pulpit, out at your job, out at your school, that says, you know what? I do not support what the world is trying to feed me. I will stand against it, even if it ain't cool, young men, young women, that you will say, no, I'll not listen to Jason Aldean. I'll not watch them dirty shows. I'll not watch those movies. And I will stand up and say, I will be different. I will be more pure, Christian, and I will stand on this rock. I'm all over the place tonight. I know that. Hey. We wrestle not against flesh and bone. But principalities. This warfare is raging constantly. As we sleep, as we go down the job, there's a warfare. And the problem is, a lot of our soldiers aren't in the battle. A lot of our people aren't really fighting with everything they got. A lot of people say, I'm going to go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night. I'll read a few scriptures and that'd be fine. But this world needs more than that. Our nation, our Christian nation, our churches need a champion. And I believe that there's a few that will stand up, that will say, you know what? I know that they're big boys. I know that it's not cool. Man, I know going down to college, I mean, I was made fun of, called Amish. I mean, you have no idea, at a Christian school. I mean, and I understand it's not popular to live this way. Why do you wear pants like that, Drew? It's 150 degrees out, you're wearing jeans. Yeah. Why? Yeah. Because I believe in something more.
That's right.
I believe in something greater that can serve a higher purpose and help us all feel like a part of something that's greater than this world, this government could ever offer me. Hey, we need the power of God in our lives. And you know what? It's about time that we go after it and possess that land that is rightfully ours. As everybody would stand. As Cody would come and sing, Megan, would you help him? I don't know what anybody's fighting with in your guys' church, but if it's anything like the war that we're fighting in Maryland, I guarantee you we need some help.
Yeah.
Amen. Something in our lives. Something just a little bit more. That when the time comes and we're down in that valley, that we can say, I'll go and fight it. Don't let your heart be troubled because of this uncircumcised Philistine.
That's right.
Hey, I'll go down and fight it.
Amen.
This world is changing rapidly. This warfare is getting harder and different. It's changing. Soon we're going to find ourselves with our backs against the wall and the world trying to push us out, trying to kill Christianity. I mean, you could call this a rally call or whatever you want to call it, but I want my nation back. I want my town back. I want to be able to walk in the house of God and feel the power like I used to. That we can have revivals that last 5 weeks and 35, 40 people get saved. That's what I got saved in. Did you hear me? Hey, I was 8 years old. Brother Jason told a little bit about hell. You know what? The preachers ain't preaching that no more. They ain't wanting to stand. They're wanting to let whatever come in and they want the numbers and the money, but they don't realize that we have a job to do as a Christian nation, as a church, that we must stand up against the devil. We need to fight for our territory. We need to go and fight for our nation and fight for what the Lord's given us.
Amen.
He gave us His church. He gave you your pastor. He gave you everything you got. So be good enough and say, you know what? You saved me, God. Let me just give you my life.
Amen.
Let me just give you just all of me. The problem is most of us just give Jesus Christ a part of us and say the world can have the rest.
Right.
Lord, this is where you fit in my life. You're my spare tire. You're my passenger, but you do not drive my life. That's the issue. David let the Lord drive his life.
That's right.
Caleb served the Lord with everything that he had, and he got to see the promised land and live there. While those that murmured and complained and said, you know what? It's too hard for me to do this. It's not worth it. I can't make it. Died in the wilderness. It's time that we stand up and possess our land. The altars are open.